Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, this is the MFB Podcast.
Woo! It is Sunday, July 26th. It is 1:16 in the morning, and we are here live. This is back-to-back.
Back-to-back.
Back-to-back with Goose, the Bane Man. All right, here we are, man. Well, we got a few topics that I want to discuss tonight.
Yeah.
That we didn't discuss earlier.
You know, I think it's funny. You have roped me into cutting my first podcast and my second podcast in less than 2 hours. So I appreciate your diligence in getting me roped into this. I'm not sure I deserve this recognition.
You feed the love, you get the love.
You know, you feed the beast, you get the beast.
That's it, man.
I'm not sure what's going to happen over the next hour, but... You wrote me into this, so let's see what happens.
I got some things to talk about. You know, let's start with the COVID, okay? Like, how are sports with the COVID thing? You know, like, we're starting to have a little bit of baseball, but, like, there's only going to be a certain amount of games. Yeah. We missed the entire basketball season, which, honestly, since the 90s Bulls, I know jack shit about basketball.
Well, I wouldn't say we missed an entire basketball season. We only had about 20 games left to play out of a 82-game season. So we didn't miss the entire basketball season. We now have subbed in the last 20 games for 8. And I'm saying 20 as a guess. I don't know exactly. We do have 8 games left for each team. I know for people in our area, the Pelicans are a great team that we follow. The Pelicans... Before the shutdown, had a great shot at making it into the 8 seed for the Western Conference. Now, we basically have to go 6-2 in the final 8 games to basically ensure ourselves a shot at the 8 seed. But that's nonetheless, like, we're just, honestly, I'm happy for Zion. I'm happy for J.J. Redick. I'm happy for... Josh Hart, Lonzo, all the players on the Pelicans to get a shot at making it into the playoffs. We're going to see what happens. I'm excited. I think the Pelicans have a great shot at getting into the playoffs, so we're going to see what happens. Honestly, there's nothing better for the NBA to see LeBron, AD, and Zion in the first round of the playoffs. So Zion Williamson is going to be a great player for the Pelicans for years to come, but it'd be awesome to see him get into the playoffs in his first year. J.J. Redick, Pelicans player, never missed the playoffs, so let's not let COVID keep J.J. Redick out of the playoffs for his career. Yeah. He's never missed the playoffs. Be awesome. But that's NBA talk. That's what I'm saying. Like, you know what? You wrote me into this. That's all I got to say.
You know what? I'm glad you're here because I don't know much about the NBA.
That's fine.
Like I said, the 90s Bulls, that's where...
I don't consider myself an expert, but I do listen to
the Utah Jazz with John Stockton.
Well, you know, the Utah Jazz should be the New Orleans Jazz, right?
Yeah.
Hey.
So we know a little bit. And
we do know a little bit. I listen to a lot of ESPN Radio, Baton Rouge. 104.5, 104.9, New Orleans, Alexandria, we all got it. You know, shout out to my radio stations.
You know, before there was Post Malone, there was Karl Malone. He was the postman.
He was the postman.
So, you know, we know a little bit. We know a little bit,
hey, fun fact, his son played for LSU, played in the pros.
Whoop, whoop. Yeah, shout out to the Tigers.
Offensive line.
Go Tigers. Anyway.
So, yeah, you know what? This podcast obviously doesn't have a lot of rules.
That's it, man.
Not this episode.
There's no lines crossed that can't
walk. What else are we getting into tonight?
You know what? Like, before we go anywhere further, I love the fact that Zion Williamson, and Drew Brees got along. Like he kind of passed the torch. Like, look, you're the next big guy.
Yep.
And he kind of didn't he give him like an autographed jersey or something like that.
He did, but the first thing he told him was, "If you love this city, this city will love you back."
And I believe that. Absolutely. You know, that's the cool thing about Louisiana is
if you love get Louisiana, what you give.
If you give 100%, you're going to give 100%. You're going to give 100%.
You are family to us.
That's it.
Doesn't
That's
matter it. Where you came from, but if you love us, because we're a proud folk, if you love us, we're going to love you back.
Absolutely. Speaking of love, how you feel on today's country music? Getting from one end of the spectrum to the other. That's I want to talk about country music because I'm a big country music fan. I know you are. You know
I am.
And by country music, we grew up on Garth Brooks, George Strait, Alan Jackson.
Damn right, Clay Walker,
Clay Walker, Kenny Chesney.
Kenny Chesney early. But we gonna let early, it ride.
It's okay. We can say it.
No, if we're gonna talk about today's country music, I think my best take on today's country music is you can split it. You can split it down the middle. I think you can take a left, take a right. Doesn't matter which is what to you. You can say, you can have on the right hand, you could have music like Florida Georgia Line. Mm-hmm. On the left hand, you could have Luke Combs.
Oh, there we go.
Okay, so
I'm gonna put a big dip in and chew a cheeseburger.
Damn right, I might walk God out to my truck it. And grab a can of Copenhagen Wintergreen. God, but what I'm saying is. I think if you take all of country music today, 2020, and say, man, I want to listen to country music, you can find it. You can find country music today. Mm-hmm. But you can also split country music today. You can find the pop country, which I don't think is as prominent as 2019, 2018, 2017. I think those 3 years, you can even group in 16, it doesn't matter. It's all blended at this point.
Yeah.
But I think today's country music, 2020, is a lot less leaning towards poppy versus country. Yeah. It's a cycle. It always is a cycle. If you think back to when you were growing up, Warren.
When we were growing up.
Absolutely. How many of those artists that you were listening to were Alan Jackson like, Garth Brooks like, or were they poppy? Were they a flash in the pan kind of artist? Were they somebody like Brian White? Were they somebody like I'm slipping names, and it's easy to slip names at this point because they weren't steadfast and we were young, but Mark Wills, Colin Ray. You know, they had good songs, but they were also kind of flash in the pans. They weren't the traditional country. And it's okay.
Now, what you mean flash in the pans? Like,
they had a couple songs.
Kind of like one-hit wonders in a sense. Yeah,
I would never call somebody in country a one-hit wonder unless they literally had one hit.
Strawberry Wine.
Strawberry Wine. Dina Carter.
Yeah. Hot. And that's...
Hey, look, I'm not going to say anything bad about Dina Carter. That's a tree you can bark yourself up.
And that's a cold Keystone Light.
Yeehaw.
But
hey, look, one hit wonders are one hit wonders. Now I'll say this.
Word to your mother.
If there's a festival where you have 20 artists, mm-hmm. that 10 of them I might not listen to every day, but 10 of them, hell yeah, I listen to every day, I'm not gonna be mad that I sit and listen to 10 artists that I don't listen to every day. Because you know what? Me, personally, I appreciate the artist and music, right? Mm-hmm. I appreciate the technical and God-given ability. If, let's take, for instance, Dan and Shay. I'm going to use Dan and Shay as an example. Okay. Dan and Shay is not an artist group that I'll reach out and find. You know, I won't ever seek to listen to their music. But I listened to them live one time, and man, that lead singer for Dan and Shay, he belted out some music. That man could sing.
So,
and it made me appreciate his art.
That's a good point you made. Would you rather listen to 20 one-hit wonders or 2 to 5 country singers with more than
give me 2 to 5?
Two to five. So you rather quality over quantity.
Absolutely. But it doesn't diminish it doesn't diminish my point of if I'm exposed to somebody that can literally slap me in the face with three or four qualities and then
make it count.
And make it count. You know what I'm saying?
See, I can respect that. Me and my wife went to probably the 2013, 2014, somewhere around there, Bayou Country Superfest in Tiger Stadium. Go Tigers. And Florida Georgia Line was playing. And I told the wife, which was my girlfriend at the time, not looking forward to this. I don't think I'm going to like it. But you pay for the tickets, and I'm gonna sit back and
hell yeah,
drink shut my beer. Mouth, drink some beer, and we're gonna have a good time. And I'll be damned, I got so into that goddamn concert, I enjoyed it, man. They had like hats off to them guys, because yeah. You know what? I saw them as poppy and not as something that I wanted to be associated with. Not in a sense of like, oh, I hate them, but like, I'm going to a country concert. I'm not gonna listen to T-Pain.
Yeah,
you know, and nothing against T-Pain. I like T-Pain. That's fun, but
hey, T-Pain can sing.
Just hey, hats off to him. You're right about that, but you understand what I'm saying.
Yeah,
you know, you go to one end of the spectrum, you don't expect another end of the spectrum.
Yeah,
and I saw them for what they were, at least in my eyes at the time, and wow, I enjoyed myself.
It just made you appreciate the artist better.
Correct.
Right?
Correct. The showmanship. I can go there and not like them and still have a good time.
I don't think radio gives us the opportunity to appreciate the artist. Fair?
Correct, because you don't know them. You don't know what you're going to... You don't know what you're going to see.
Yeah.
You just know what you're going to hear.
But the thing is, in today's music, especially country music...
Yeah.
The money... to sustain your career comes from getting on the radio. Okay. If that's your intent, if your intent is to go through Nashville, your money to sustain your career comes through getting on the radio. And so there's a lot of artists that have understood that and done that, found their way to get on the radio, mm-hmm. make their damn money, and find a career in themselves. And there's a point in time where, as an artist, you can make as much money as you can, but you got to get to some point where you have set yourself up for success, no matter what you do, and then you go back to who you are. Just like
Lady Gaga.
Eric Church is a great example of that. Eric Church had a couple albums that were good, a little poppy, and then... he hit it with Chief. Chief was his album. Mm-hmm. Chief was the album that made him Eric Church. Sunglasses.
A household name.
Beard. Absolutely. Now, he had two albums before that were...
Carolina.
Absolutely.
I love Carolina.
Those two albums were absolutely Eric Church to his core. He hit it. He made himself a name. And then he got freedom. He got freedom to experiment. Got freedom to find... what he enjoyed as an artist, and he got freedom to create what he wanted to create. And his next two albums were very much different than Chief, Carolina, and Eric Church. Mm-hmm. Now, they were, The Outsiders was one
Outsiders.
Of the albums.
Yeah.
And there was another one right behind it. I forget that album, but there was one before that as well. But those were... his ability to say, I've done it. I've made it. I've done what I needed to do. And now it's my job.
Now we're going to try to stay relevant.
Now it's my job to introduce as much beautiful music. Whatever I find that I need to express to the world, this is what I'm going to put on this. He had no reservations about what the record label or America or who was going to buy it said. That's what he put out. And Eric Church is just one example. And I'm not here to fly the flag of Eric Church.
You just...
that's what I observed.
Use an example.
But that's country music at this point. It ain't about getting to that point that Eric Church got to. It's about getting on the radio to give yourself the ability to get there. Everybody's trying to get on the radio to maybe give yourself a shot.
You think it's more like a pedestal? Like, the radio is like, now that I'm here.
Well, money's in radio.
Now that, but really it is. Every time you play that song, they're getting paid.
That's what I'm saying.
So, is it every time that you're on that pedestal and you become a household name now because of one song, or two songs, or three songs, or albums?
Yeah.
Now I have the freedom to either go one way, the other, experiment a little.
Well,
you think that see, I think it all stemmed from Garth Brooks, really. When it comes to country music and being poppy, because he did do things that were different, and some country artists who were big names that held that title, Waylon Jennings, for instance, you know, or Merle Haggard, or Conway.
I think it's a progression.
They took those challenges of not only the performance, but whole albums.
Yeah.
You know, like they like Garth Brooks did like this rocky, weird emo type thing going
on. We're not gonna talk about the Chris Gaines project. But that's not Garth Brooks.
He did it. And nobody else could have done it.
He did
it. But he did it. And you know what? He came back from it. Because he's Garth Brooks.
I don't know how society has given Garth Brooks such a pass on the Chris Gaines project, other than the fact that we're not going to talk about somebody's complete failure.
But you understand what I'm saying.
Absolutely.
You know, he got so big that he can completely have an album. I was into my 20s, I didn't even know about this.
Doesn't that also say something? If somebody was so successful and then failed so hard,
and still came back.
And still nobody bothered. Nobody bothered.
It didn't even fathom.
You have to be a special kind of somebody to just didn't even let affect people his just career.
Correct. Like, that's okay. But, like, did you hear what he came out with after? Wow.
I just think country music today is, in a lot of ways, more forgiving. In a lot of ways, less forgiving. But I think the dictation of country music today is dictated by radio airplay and streaming airplay, which means that...
But isn't all radio? I mean, you could go into rap music.
Yeah.
You could go into pop music. You can go into... I'm not into jazz, but I would imagine somebody is.
Genre music, yes.
You know, any genre.
You're fair in that assessment, yes. I think country music and pop music are the only two that have those restrictions and those criteria. Classic rock is a top 40 cycle 15 songs radio circuit. Jazz is also really, you have to be good to get cycled in kind of thing.
And you have to stand out.
Hip hop is current, but also old.
Reggae.
Don't know a reggae station within my radius, buddy.
Well, we're not talking about like stations, but music
in general.
I can't
talk about that. I can't. I have no opinion on it. I don't know.
Well, since we're talking about like music, like rock.
Yeah.
I mean, can you even name a progressive rock band in
today? No, I don't. That's not a genre of music that I personally listen to, but I will say the best classic rock station in our area, and I won't name the station because they're not paying me to name their station.
Yeah.
The best classic rock station easily in our area. At one time, they do this periodically. They poll their audience and say, would you rather hear this song three times a day, or would you rather hear this song, and this song?
Yeah. Well, I mean,
typically, the audience goes, I'd rather hear this song three times a day.
So basically,
play the hits.
Play what made us
Which means as classic rock grows in age, right?
Yeah.
Every year it adds another year to classic rock. Uh-huh. Quotes, classic rock. But as it ages, it gets into a new era of rock music.
Yeah.
So classic rock at this point now includes grunge.
You're now right. Includes 90s is now 20 plus, Nirvana, almost 30 years old.
System of a, nah, it's a little newer, but
Nirvana, Anthrax, Pearl Jam.
Pearl Jam.
You know, like all the grunge bands,
yes.
Stone Temple Pilots, Soundgarden, we could go on.
Yeah, Soundgarden, underrated band. I love Soundgarden.
I don't think they're underrated. Hey, Chris Cornell, hands down, one of the greatest. One of the most greatest. I believe, I'm not going to say that they were underrated, but probably one of the most underrated vocalists. Not bands, but vocalists.
There was a lot of talent that
and Chris Cornell,
gets
hands
glossed
down.
Over in the early 90s because of the grunge, garage band kind of music. Not a lot of respect in the music scene gets given
Not
enough. But anyway, we have driven so far off topic on this.
But it's kind of like we have a local radio station around here, getting back to country music,
yeah,
that only plays classic 90s and older country music for an extended period of time every Saturday because that's what the people want. Am I right? You know, like, they're going to play all the things that we grew up
with. Play the hits.
They're going to play the hits. And that's what people want. You know, like, yes, we want to hear something new every now and then. But every Saturday, we're going to sit down, we're going to drink some beer, we're going to cook. And that's going to be what probably 65%+ of the locals who's going to sit down and drink with.
So, you know, there's a lot of things going on in this world that we can talk about. But I think that there's only a few topics that you and I are just meant to talk about. So,
I mean, when it comes to country music, though, I find that it's more pop than it is country.
Today? Yeah, absolutely.
And it's nothing to the artist. I'm not saying I don't respect the artist. But with that, I think that, I don't know, they can stay more true to what, you know, the people that came before them have built. And no disrespect to Garth Brooks or Billy Ray Cyrus or any country music artist that has branched off, like Taylor Swift, for instance, who went completely pop now. And you look back and think, man, you know, you can't sit back and listen to her album when she was 17, 18 and say, man, that's some good wholesome country, like the Tim McGraw song, or you know what I'm getting at. Like, I don't know, I just find, like, certain, like, rap in today's rap, I can't get into it. I can't sit down and listen to a whole rap album. I can't even name you a modern day artist. Now, Biju, I love Post Malone. I like Post Malone. He stands out. I like the fact that he's different, and his music is very catchy. His, you know, that's one artist out of many that I like. But I don't know. Like, I find, like, in country music, it's become pop. It's poppy.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where, yes, it transitions. Music does transition. It always progresses at some point.
Mm-hmm.
It's easy to say country music is more poppy Because you could have said that in 1991. You could have said that in 1981. Because if you listen to Hank Williams Sr.
And Hank
Jr. And Hank Williams completely Jr.
You're right. That's a good point, man.
Those are completely different, but no one ever argued that either one of those was country. No one ever argued that. So it's pretty easy to say today's country music is poppy.
Ah, that's a good point, man.
And easy to say 1991.
The Highwaymen coming out, and they were like, oh, these are some rebels. This is different. This is...
And that, but country music today branches off so hard. Country music, and that's another thing. Music in general has many more opportunities to be heard today than it did 20 years ago, 10 years ago, 5 years ago, because of the amount of music that's shared. Yeah. You know, there's a lot of artists that I would never have understood to be exposed to. Cody Johnson, I never would have known him if I never went to Lake Charles and lived there for 2 years.
Yeah.
I lived there for fucking 4 years.
Well, social media. It's a double-edged sword.
You know, I'm going to give you a great example. When I lived in Baton Rouge in 2013, actually, I think that's when it was. I got free tickets to Aaron Watson.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't know who he was, didn't care who he was. They were sitting on my dining room table. I had 7 or 8 tickets. Nope, didn't go because I didn't know who it was. I looked his name up. Texas country is all I care about. Right? Nope, not something I want to listen to. I chose to go out to the bar instead of going and watch his concert.
You regret it?
Yeah, a little bit. Mm-hmm. Not at all at some points, but yeah, a little bit.
At the time, you didn't.
Sure. At the time, I had no idea who it was. I didn't care. When I was living in Lake Charles, I had friends who listened to Texas country. And I'm not saying Aaron Watson today is roped into Texas country, but that's what he was back then. I took a trip to Central Texas to the... We went to basically San Antonio, New Braunfels. And we went float the river one day.
Mm-hmm.
After we floated the river, we got out. We all cleaned up. We went to Whitewater Pavilion, which is an amphitheater, Whitewater Amphitheater. And we went there to listen to Aaron Watson. I had no idea. At this point, I honestly was a little too drunk to know who Aaron Watson was. But I didn't go over there for that concert. I went over there for my friends. We went to that concert. A guy named Sam Riggs opened up for Aaron Watson that night.
Yeah.
And Aaron Watson played great. Sam Riggs played phenomenal. I'll tell you, that night opened up a lot of my eyes. It opened my eyes to Aaron Watson and opened my eyes to Sam Riggs. Sam Riggs played in Beaumont about a month later. We went and watched, went and visited with him. He was like, hey, man, where'd you guys come from? We said, Louisiana. He was like, y'all drove all the way from Louisiana to listen to me play in Beaumont? Hell yeah. You're pretty good at Whitewater. So basically what I'm saying is it's all about exposing yourself to music.
Mm-hmm.
We had no idea Sam Riggs was going to be that good. And also, me personally, I had no idea who the hell Aaron Watson was. So it's about exposing yourself, not putting yourself in a box for country music. Country music is so diverse.
Kind of stepping out of your comfort zone.
Maybe. It is. It's so diverse. You can't box in country music. Probably you can't box in any music these days. Because of the ability to share music with anybody today, I would doubt that we're going to see the boxes, the restraints that we've seen on music in the past, 20 years. So we're going to see a lot of people get really rich, famous, for doing music we've never seen before. And it's going to be a challenge for us as consumers to understand where everybody's coming from.
I like a lot of local artists when it comes to...
People like Dustin Saunier.
Dustin Saunier, yes.
Jared Lane.
Jared Lane. Saunier. I think there's a lot of local artists that gets underlooked.
Yeah.
For their talent.
Yeah.
Whether it's, and I'm sure that's like that with a lot of,
yeah,
lot of genres. I'm gonna say country music.
Yeah.
Because that's what I'm into.
I think
Jared Lane, Dustin Sonier, like I feel like those names should be mentioned more in a higher spectrum, yeah, than just local local radio.
I think but at because, the same time, you have to have some sort of filter. You have to have a relativity bias filter,
mm-hmm,
you know, something that says, hey, just because it's close to you doesn't mean it's that good.
So,
you know, it's hard to say to yourself, but it's also something you need to say to yourself.
Yeah.
Is it a conversation as, are they that good just because they're that good, or are they that good just because you are around them? You know, but also you want to give the people around you a chance. You want to see people succeed. Absolutely. So yeah. I'd love nothing more than my favorite artist around here,
yeah,
to make it big. Absolutely. You know, just you want to see people succeed.
But what I think is wild is when someone who loves country music, and I find myself as someone who does love country music, and I think that you're a person who loves country music, and like I said, I'm using that as a genre of music that not everybody can relate to, but me and you can.
Yeah.
And I'm sure there's somebody in the reggae, somebody in the rap, somebody in the pop, somebody in the rock spectrum. It's like, why haven't these guys made it as far as somebody else that you hear? It's like, ugh. Like, ah. Yeah, you know, like, yeah, okay, that's it's catchy. It's popular.
Yeah.
Yeah, because we could listen to a local radio station. Well, any of them. Well, you can name, we're not going to name them.
Two good examples.
But you can sit there and listen and hear that's a certain song four or five times when you can hear them once and be like, That's what I've been listening for. That's the hook. That's, they got it. Now, why haven't they got further than?
Would you agree local? Or disagree that the artists you've grown up listening to are different than the artists that have been presented to you?
Yes.
I think a good example of that, and I said that. For
okay, I can understand that. You know,
I said
that. It's kind of like you like what you grew up on.
Two examples.
Okay,
and this is recent. Lane Hardy and Guy Thrigdon. Are you familiar with those two? No, not at all.
No.
Okay, Lane Hardy.
I'm not.
Lane Hardy won American Idol.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
I got you. Yeah, I know who you're talking about.
Came in second on The Voice.
And
Lane Hardy's from Livingston Parish.
Got you.
No, just outside of Baton Rouge.
Yeah.
Guy Thrigdon's from Lake Charles. South of Lake Charles, probably Big Lake area.
Mm-hmm.
Lane won American Idol.
Okay? Yes,
American
he did.
Idol. Guy Thrigdon came in second on The Voice.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So we're talking about the first place on the most prominent
base, the most artist, prominent
musical
presented
competition.
Yes.
Okay. Second place on the second most musical artist competition. But somebody like you, who's pretty decently versed in music, had no idea who I was talking about.
I'm not going to say I don't. Because when you presented the names, I didn't think about. But Lane Hardy, but like,
I'm not saying,
I know him as that guy who sang.
I think I presented that differently. Okay, I'm not saying that you personally,
yeah,
are the most appropriate representative, but I think it's also important that I brought that up and you had no idea who.
Yeah, you like you hit me up. you hit it in left field.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
yeah.
Think about Think about you and how much you listen to music.
Correct.
And think about how easy it was for me to bring up two people, not just one.
That shocked
two people
me.
That you had no idea who I was talking about, and yet were so recognized.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think it's not an availability bias. I don't know how to describe it, but also, I knew who Garth Rigdon was only because I lived in Lake Charles for 4 years.
And all I knew of Lane Hardy was that kid that sang that song by the Heavens.
Yeah. That's how I learned what that song was.
Yeah. And you fell in love with it.
I love that song.
And then you liked it, and then it opened your...
he went and won American Idol.
Yep.
And then released a song about him riding in a boat with lacrosse boots on up to his knees with a low-cut V-neck.
But you could relate to it.
No, I couldn't relate to anything he was in that boat for. He didn't have a hat on. His hair was too nice. You know, like...
I get it.
There's a lot of people who can shit on Lane Hardy. There's a lot of people who can shit on Lane Hardy. I'm not here to argue that they're wrong. I'm only saying that we had two artists in South Louisiana.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know a damn thing about Garth Rigdon. And I know I don't relate to Lane Hardy.
Yeah.
So what are we doing as a state? That's my question. What the hell are we doing? That literally, we have the two biggest artist competitions in the world.
And we can't relate to shit from neither one of them.
And first and second in the first and second competitions come from Louisiana, and we don't know who the hell they are.
It's a good point, mate.
I think it's a better point about the competitions themselves. But also... How diverse the music industry is. That being said, I think country music itself is the most old school, traditional, easy to lay back on. I'm sure if we could pull back the tapes from 20 years ago and have a discussion like this, we could easily pull a lot of things from that discussion.
I see what you're saying.
You know,
it's kind of like you said. You could barely relate to Hank Williams Sr. to Hank Williams Jr.
It's hard.
But growing up, our grandfathers listened to Hank Williams Sr.
Yeah.
And our dads listened to Hank Williams Jr.
So how much of you would compare to your dad?
That's a good point.
A lot.
Yeah.
How much of you would compare to your grandfather? A hell of a lot.
Yeah.
Our music was different. But it's not about the music. It's about the values that the music instills. And I think that's one thing that country music has not changed. Those values are what people want to hear. What you've grown up on and what you've been introduced to is always what you want to hear as a reinforcement to validate your life. That's country music. Country music is
being progressive.
Country music is being told that you're dumb and stupid and you work on a farm and you ain't worth a damn thing to society and hearing that the music validates who you are and what you do.
Yeah.
That is country music.
Very blue collar.
You're damn right.
Because we ain't singing songs about sticking in the office or...
But I tell you this.
Working on a computer. But...
Somebody who sweats their ass off every day and gets... third-degree burns on their neck for working every day. Don't care about what you think about them. All they care about is being reinforced into their beliefs. And that at its core is country music.
But do you think that stands out in today's?
In
today's country music, you think that... The guy who's still blistering his neck and the guy who's still got calluses on his hands.
Because there's a thing called imagination. I think if I hear a song, if I'm a leather-necked working my ass off farmer who wakes up before the sun comes up and goes to bed after.
And that's a biased opinion.
That's a lot of people, but it is a biased opinion. I give you that. If I'm as country as it comes, and I hear some of today's country music, the music itself is going to turn me off. But if that's all I got to listen to, I'm going to listen to the words after the music. And if I have been stuck there so long to listen to the music that I have to listen to the words, then I'm going to find something to relate to. Because country music people want to hear the people that relate to them. They want to relate to other people. They want to feel other people.
That's a good point made. But do you think that, like, not only in country music, but in music in general, they get, like, too political or too biased in certain opinions?
It depends on the genre.
That may stray you or pull you further into it or further away from it.
Yeah, I feel like when you allow politics.
Big word there.
Yeah, politics. I didn't say it wrong, you know.
You just pronounce
it different. That's all.
That's all it is.
When you allow
potato, tomato, right?
Yeah. When you allow that to enter your decision making about society.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's literally up to you.
Well, I think it's a big cross to bear. You know, because you can, and hats off to the ones that do it, who have the balls to do it. But you have this big stage, whether it's the Super Bowl, or playing on the radio, or having a 30 seconds, 2 minutes to talk on a local radio, or
a podcast,
but yeah. To stand up and say, you know, this is how I feel, this is how I don't feel, I don't agree with it, I do agree with it, I agree with so-and-so, I don't agree with so-and-so. I feel like a lot of that comes out in today's music. And I don't know, maybe we're biased because we grew up on that 90s, our parents more than us. And,
you know,
but how do you
have a good point?
How do you find that happy medium between relating to people but still being able to voice your opinion?
How do I find the happy medium between relating to somebody and saying they're stupid as hell?
Yeah.
You
know, like, how do you
how do
how,
I
how find, do you feel
how that? Do I find the way to say what I want to say at that point?
Say what you want to say.
Warren, I think it goes on to the conversation we had last podcast about understanding somebody. Until you take a second to understand somebody else, you'll never know the balance between saying, yo, you got some good shit right there, or yo, your shit sucks. I think it's, man, just a lot of times it's music that doesn't travel, which is sad, because, man, music is the easiest thing to travel, you know, split generations and all that. But, man, if you disagree with somebody, you got to figure out how to make it work. And I don't know if I answered your question correctly.
But no, I think you answered it as best you can. I mean, best as me and you can, sitting here.
Yeah, I'm not an expert on social
talking matters. Amongst each other.
Just
by all means, if anybody wants to call in and give us their opinion.
I think the gist of what I was trying to say is if there's a different opinion of yours and it bothers you that much, or if somebody's bothered by your opinion so much that if you see that they are visibly reaching out, that they're upset, go and reach out. Go and say, hey, like, what are you mad about? What are you upset about? Help me understand what's so upsetting about something I did to you. And then find a way to make it right.
I think the problem with that, though, is in today's society, you don't get many, my bad, we can
Oh, no, it's all cancel culture. It's all cancel culture at this point.
You know, and I guess that's a good point made with why sometimes, like, in my instance, I'm using country music, going back to what I know, what I like. I'm like, no, I can't relate to that. But you back it, you rewind it 25 years, you go back 25 years, and it's like, okay, I can relate to that, but that's because of what I grew up on.
Or, and I'd say if you owned a business today, at some point in the next month, somebody would try and cancel you. Somebody would find
Somebody's something. Always out.
Somebody would find something you said out of context.
That's a good point, man.
And try and destroy what you've done. And a lot of people have been trying to fight this these days. A lot of people have folded to this point. A lot of people have unsuccessfully fought this. But I think going back to your point about opinions, I think in today's society, your opinion only matters if somebody can cancel you. You follow? Like, if you have a good enough business that if you have a different opinion on the left, on the right, somewhere in the middle, three directions. But you said one comment that was bad, you could be canceled.
Yeah.
That's my point. You know, I don't think people inherently are meant to be that way whenever they get to approach somebody who they may have felt has a different opinion of theirs. But man, it's so easy to be caught in between a rock and a hard place these days.
Yeah. Anyway, I mean, we're using country music, like I said, as an example.
Yeah. This has been a terrible podcast, guys. I'm sure we haven't diversed our topics much. But hey, we got 3 minutes left.
Hey.
3 to 13, how about that?
Due to
time constraints?
We'll say time constraints and certain things that we can't control.
Well, people losing poker games. I mean,
we ain't gonna bring that up.
By the way,
but LSU is gonna be
pretty good this year, huh?
Well, they're gonna be the champs for 2 years due to certain circumstances.
That's fair, but Warren, would you not agree you want to be a multi audience podcast, right?
Absolutely.
Good, diversify. Can't just harp on LSU.
Yeah, I mean,
that being said, LSU just did present the most singular, best regular season in the history of college football. There is no arguments. I will not entertain any arguments. You can write in your arguments to
AustinBMouton@gmail.com
if you really want to argue about who had the best singular season in college football. I will easily let you know who really was. So, if you want to say, hey, go ahead and shoot me an email too. That's fine. I'll be like, what's up, bro? But if you want to have that conversation, by all means, shoot me an email. We will sort this out. Thank you.
We will challenge and accept.
That being said, I don't want to, you know, take away from you, Warren. Warren, what do you have in the works coming forward? What's next for you? We got a couple minutes left.
Well, we got a few things. You know, we got
a baby on the way.
We got the baby on the way. once again, you know, coming up quick, getting quick. Big. Mama's getting big. Woo. Healthy. That's always. That's what we pray for, you know. Without being biased, we give all thanks to God. And, you know, if you're Catholic, if you're Baptist, if you're atheist, if you're Pentecostal, if you're any religion.
If you believe in it all or you don't believe in a damn thing.
The Ten Commandments is not a bad way to live. You know, that's just...
I've always found that curious. What if somebody didn't believe in God?
Yeah.
But said, you know what, the Ten Commandments...
It's not a bad way to go. That's
pretty all right.
You know, it's...
I've never had a conversation with anybody like that, but...
I think that might be a good thing that's coming up in the future.
All of it at this point.
You know, like a good topic that the MFB podcast may have to cover. By all means, y'all give y'all's opinions. Yeah. Send it to us. Yeah. Let us know what y'all think. If y'all want to hear more, let us know. We're thankful and grateful.
Yeah.
And, hey, y'all got anything y'all want us to talk about? By all means, that's what's up in the pipeline right now.
Yeah. You know, I do have to say one thing, Warren. You know, this is currently my second ever podcast to record. I'm a bit of a novice to this situation. Sometimes it's hard to speak to an audience that you don't know what they want to hear. Sometimes it's hard to share the things on your sleeve, the things about your personal life that you may not feel comfortable at first to hear people understand or to share with others. Sometimes it's a lot of topics that you or I or anybody else on podcast may not be comfortable talking about. But I know that Warren and Luke and Nick and Todd have always felt this way, but they may not have found a way to say this. But personally, me, myself, I want the audience to know that the thing that we do, the guys do, being me being a first-time guest, but I know the guys do, we as a group always want you guys to know that the things that we say are really us trying to show our true colors, show our personalities, show what we really feel. So I think this goes without saying. The guys have opened their hearts, their eyes, their words to you, to themselves, to really try and show you guys what they really feel and give you guys a glimpse in their lives and everything. And it's been an honor, honestly, to be a part of this for the last two episodes.
We appreciate you.
I don't want these guys to not get the credit they deserve for the time that they give themselves up to opening their opinions to you guys. So
yeah, you always got to be willing to, just like I said, if you want to give it, you got to be able to receive it. And to expect people to voice their opinions, you got to give your opinions.
Yeah.
And that's not always in your comfort zone. But always be willing to sacrifice the uncomfortability to receive knowledge and wisdom. I always say wisdom because I feel like you get wisdom by conversating with people that you don't always agree with. I feel like that's where wisdom comes from, and being able to control that uncomfortability but still be able to speak your mind. And I think that that's a thing that society is overlooked a lot today. You know, be able to just talk. It's okay. Use it. Don't abuse it. Try, and it will succeed. I promise. But we're gonna wrap this up, and we're gonna bring it back, hopefully soon. Sooner than it was the last two episodes ago.
Yeah, I think you're trying to get some sponsorship, huh?
Yeah, hey man, hats off to Keystone. It's been keeping us talking for the last few hours and keeping us relevant in today's society.
You know what? You know what would keep us talking for another, you know, couple hours, huh?
A sponsor.
Honestly, a case of Keystone.
Yeah, we'll be happy with a 12-pack or a 15-pack.
75-pack.
Well, you know, hey, I'm not being greedy, but hey, you send it, we will receive it.
Shit happens when you party naked.
That is right. And you don't usually party naked alone. So, Keystone be with us.
It's another person we can expose to the product. You know?
That's right. We're sponsored by absolutely no one. So y'all step up and we'll show our appreciation.
One of these days I'm going to start my own business. So I'll sponsor the hell out of this.
That's what I'm talking about. Because you see, you feel real, and you receive it and you give it. And
it's all about the content. It's all about the people who are listening. I think you guys do a great job trying to do your best for those who listen.
That's right. We might have a small group now, but by God, it's growing. One listener at a time. Y'all stay classy. Y'all stay good. This is the MLB Podcast. We'll catch y'all next time.